Well, you are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. Now listen, I know that's a very challenging opening to a sermon, so I'm going to say it again and I'm going to show it to you. You're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. You get it that time? Okay, right, here we go. We're off to the races this morning. Some of us are struggling a bit, that's okay. It's still very early on a Sunday morning. Who you are, who are you? It's such a basic question in many ways, and yet it comes with complications the more we think about it, the more complicated we become. None of us are one thing. We are complicated. Are we defined by our whiteness or our blackness, our religion, our stance on the union with Britain, or our reunification with Ireland? Can we be reduced to one or two things, or are we just too difficult to nail down? And how did we get to this point in history? How did we end up here? Because our past is important as well as the who we are. The past matters. And yet some have said that the past is like a foreign country because we don't live there. Or the famous line about history and those who are doomed to repeat it. Your heritage, folks, your family tree, your past is important. Maybe even this morning on a personal level, you look at your past and maybe you're not all that proud. How does that shape us? Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you look at your past and you think, you know what, I've done okay. That also has an effect. This morning, friends, we're going to see Paul look to the past with the Galatians. He has something to say about it. He has a reminder for us from it. And there's an old promise that you and I should be aware of as Christians in 2023. The first section that Marion read there is a bit crazy, isn't it? It's not the world we live in or think about. These are not references that we are all familiar with. But Paul talks to a Jewish Christian audience who are trying to put a lot of Judaism back into Christianity. We spoke about them recently. Remember the circumcision group? They're trying to bring the old ways back in to the gospel. And these are things that Paul talks about that they would have known. They would have recognized the way he's speaking, this sort of style of argument. And it's they that Paul is talking to. That's where the reading starts. You who want to be under the law, the Jewish Christians, more Jewish than Christian. And I wouldn't presume to know how familiar you are with Sarah and Hagar or their children, but the short version is that one is promised and there's something of a miracle in that birth, that's Isaac, and the other was a human decision and not something God had promised, that's Hagar and her son Ishmael. The next thing Paul says is exactly that. Slave woman, free woman. One son born according to a promise, another the flesh. That's all he's saying there. It's Sarah and Hagar, it's Isaac and Ishmael. That's all history. It's fairly well-known history. It's the ancient heritage of the Jewish people, and not for nothing, folks. This is the reason that the Israelis and the Palestinians are bombing one another at the moment. This is Isaac and Ishmael, the ancestral roots of the Jewish people and the Muslim people. And Paul's listeners would be nodding along here. Great, so far so good. Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, Isaac, Ishmael, we're with you, Paul. They know this. And then something happens that we don't see. Paul throws them for a curve. Because he says that the women and their two sons stand for two covenants. But there's no reaction in the room to that. That means little to nothing to you and me. But if you're Jewish, there is only one covenant. There's one promise between God and his people. What's this two? See how for Paul's listeners, maybe they're thinking, you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. And then, if that's not bad enough, he throws another curve at them, not in line with Isaac. No, no, not you guys. You're in line with Ishmael. That's what he's getting at when he talks about the covenant at Sinai. They're hearing Sinai, and they're thinking, that's Moses and the law. That's us. And yet Paul says, those people, you, are slaves, and you're not the sons of Isaac. You're the ancestors of Hagar. Stay with me. Sinai is about the law. The Jews are all about the law. The Jewish Christians are also all about the law being part of the gospel. And do you see it? They think they're Jewish and free. And Paul says, you're slaves. You're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. What we're seeing, folks, there is a challenge that extends to all of us. You're sitting there thinking, okay, what has this got to do with me? It's a good question. It's my job to tell you. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. There is an unchangeable truth here when it comes to God and our response to him. Slave and free is one way of putting it. But we might ask ourselves about these choices. Are we people that are of above or below? Are we heavenly-minded or earthly-minded? Are we spiritual people or the brutes of nature? Do we have faith or is it just unbelief? That's the challenge in there. Who are you? What do you really believe? Our friends in the Middle East are at war over land. Jerusalem is a shared capital. Both Palestinian and Jew claim it as their birthright. Their history and their laws declare it to be their home. This is the promised land. And even today, Paul comes along in Galatians and he winks at the answer to that problem. And he winks at the answer to your problem. Who are you? What do you really believe? Because he says to them in a very complex way, but in some ways very simply, Hagar is about Sinai. It's about the present city of Jerusalem. Why is it that, Paul? Because she's in slavery. They're slaves to the rules, the law, the tradition, the heritage, who they think they are. But the Jerusalem that is above is free. And she is our mother. Do you see it? Our history matters, even though it's tricky. What we might think we are, we're not. Have we placed our hopes in something earthly rather than heaven? Is our citizenship here? Or are we citizens of the Jerusalem above? Do you know, that's a world-changing, life-changing question. Because you're not children of this world. We are the children of a promise, and it's a very, very old promise. Because we're not children of this world, we're something else. Paul says so, said this to the children. We're back to who we really are. Children of promise is a call back to Abraham and Sarah. They had a promised child, Isaac. They had to wait for him. It was something of a miracle. By the time Isaac was born, Sarah was well in their 90s. This is amazing, promised, miraculous birth. And to you, fellow Christian, I would say the same is true of you and me. Folks, who I was and the direction I was heading could only have been stopped and changed by a miracle of God, the miracle of salvation. God had to reach into my life and send me people to pray for me and to talk to me about Jesus. And his spirit is the one who caught me and put me on a different path. It is a miracle that I am a Christian. And it's a miracle that I'm the minister of Ballygilbert. Now, isn't that your story too? It's a supernatural birth. God is the one who gets hold of us and changes us. You are a child of promise. And we'll hear this at Christmas time. I don't want to talk about Christmas, but we'll hear this at Christmas time. We hear this so often that we forget it. To all who did not, who all did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now listen to that. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Paul says exactly the same thing. So are you Protestant, Presbyterian, Unionist, Orangeman or woman, Ulsterman or woman? Or is this who we are? Is this our true identity? Now you're thinking, that sounds good. Might go for that. Brilliant. Comes with a cost. Comes with a cost. People won't like it. There'll be mockery, persecution. We always knew that. I think we see it maybe more today, don't we? For a while, it was the atheists who knew better than we did. And then it was the humanists. The humanists tried to tell us that human beings are good and humanity will solve its own problems. And then we live today in an era of sexual and identity politics, constantly challenges us to get with it, doesn't it? Come on, church, get with the program. It's 2023, let's go. And that's what even mentioning our religious problems, our little spats in the world. The Jews and the Palestinians, folks, have been at this since Abraham walked the earth. Here's a line from Genesis 21 that shows us that. Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar, the Egyptian, had borne to Abraham was mocking. See, fighting from the beginning. And she said to Abraham, get rid of him. Get rid of that woman. Folks, that is the Jewish-Palestinian war. That's how old this is. And look at the last bit. That woman's son will never share inheritance with my son, Isaac. Just feel how the stakes went up there. It's a mess. Here's one from the Psalms. This is the psalmist talking about Ishmael's people, the Muslims essentially. With cunning they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish, Lord. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, so that Israel's name is remembered no more. Does that sound familiar? There's nothing new in the world, nothing new in Israel or Gaza. And now we're in the mix. Christians are in the mix. It's not just Jew and Palestinian. Christians live in Jerusalem as well, folks. Did you know that Christians in Palestine and Israel and Jerusalem are spat on when they go to church on a Sunday? They are mocked. They are spat on. And that's to say that now you're ready to hear about the cost of your citizenship in heaven. You, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. In a very real sense, there is no inheritance. There is no future in this present age or in this world. There is only trouble and death. But the children of promise are not of this earth. They are of God. What does Paul say? The Jerusalem that is above is free. She is our mother. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Children of heaven is what he's saying there. Folks, you are those children. You are not what you think you are. What's on offer this morning? I know that's heavy. I should have told you at the start, listen, guys, buckle in. It's going to be heavy today. That's a lot to take in, isn't it? What is on offer here this morning, though? What do you go home and think about? What does all this add up to? What is it everyone really wants? It's freedom. Not the William Wallace kick the English out of Scotland type freedom. It's not the freedom that the Israelis or the Palestinians really want either. It's not even the freedom that people in Northern Ireland want. That is an earthly dream. That is of the mud and the blood, and it usually ends up with bloody hands, doesn't it? No, freedom is freedom from all of that. It's freedom from the slavery of the law, the prisons of human tradition. And we finished our reading today with this conclusion. It's a kind of summary for the Christian life. It was the last thing we heard. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. See how the point is freedom? There are people here who want to rush back to the rules and the traditions, and Paul says, why would you do that? You're free. That's a good question. John Calvin said of this verse, the wise and skillful person knows that this is one of the most important doctrines of salvation. This is not a question of what you eat or what you drink or whether you observe a certain day, but it's about your positive duty towards God. Your positive duty towards God, because Christ has rescued us from the tyranny of sin, Satan, and death. We might say, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Folks, the promise is freedom. It's as simple as that. Why would you go back to slavery? Why would we do it? Because you're not what you think you are. You're a child of promise. You can be free. Let me pray for us. Father, we can trick ourselves into thinking that our tribe, our tradition, our preferences are right. And because we think they're right, they're of you. But these are idols of the heart. Father, would you smash our idols this morning? Remind us of freedom, freedom that was hard won, that was bought in blood, and the freedom of having to do all of that ourselves. Help us think on these things this morning. They're complicated. They're tricky. They're personal. They're life-changing. But we can be changed by them. For we pray in the freedom that Christ has bought and in his strong name. Amen.